where entrepreneurs come to grow. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
And now it's time to move on to Drea Lynn with howtosmartquit.com and her book, Smart Quit. You have an amazing story. Tell us.
Yes. I like to call my career like a cat career. I'm a former attorney. I was 10 years in church ministry. I've been the COO of some entrepreneurial companies, fractional COO, and then an EOS implementer, which was my transition into entrepreneurship. And how Smart Quit came along, because the way I quit was not that smart. And so that experience became a book. But hey, if I didn't have it, I couldn't have written a book about it. And so that's kind of how I am here today.
So you were making six figures, then you were in debt six figures, and now you're doing great again. How did all that happen?
Yeah, so, and really, as I mentioned, you know, really wasn't entrepreneurial in nature. I did well working for other people and kind of was doing fine, and then got a bug. This was like, I kind of wanted to start my own business. I wanted to work for myself, and I thought I had the plan right. Oh my gosh, you know, I've excelled in everything in my life, and I had, this is what was going to happen first. I had a, you know, 6 months reserve in terms of, you know, how much money I had saved up. I was going to go talk to my boss. We were going to slowly roll out of my role because I was so important that they weren't going to be able to separate from me immediately. Well, they were able to separate from me immediately because I went and talked to them on a Tuesday and they told me Friday was my last day, and that was not a part of the plan. Also, I planned, you know, first client maybe 2 months, 3 months, was not planning on 6 months. And so all of these are the things that I probably should have had a plan B and a plan C that I did not plan for. And so talking about all those things of, hey, so you think you want to be an entrepreneur, because that's a part of the book too. Let's really talk about, why are you thinking, okay, you're working somewhere, I want to start my own business, you know, what does this look like? Why are you wanting to do this? And then what are the steps to do so the right way, so we can launch with a plan and not in panic?
So looking back at what happened, knowing what you know now, what would you have done differently? Because it sounded like you had a pretty good plan there.
Yeah, and part of what we talk about is the timing of it. I think I would ask myself, was this the proper time in terms of, I don't think I had the right network in terms of who my clients were going to be. So I literally started with zero. And I thought that I was going to, you know, oh, I was going to reach out to all these people and they were going to hire me. And, you know, they had small businesses and it didn't. It was starting from zero. I had never business developed before. And so starting that, I think I would have gotten some training and experience. I think I would have talked to some people who were doing what I was about to do. Mm-hmm. I tell people all the time, my little sister, she wanted to start a food truck. And I was like, have you talked to anybody who have a food truck? Because I don't think you want to be up during those times that food truckers are. And so talking to someone who, so I think I would have talked to someone who was going to be doing what I was going to be doing, to say, okay, let me hear about their experiences. Are there some things I should be preparing for now? And so those were some of the things. And even the timing of, hey, when does my company really need to know when I'm transitioning? To give them a fair, because I want to transition correctly, but too early can be too early too, you know, if it's unnecessary and it would put me in the bad position. So
are companies open to this kind of long transition, you think? Because I've been around forever and worked for corporate, and their attitude was always like, well, once you say something like that, you're done. And we need to replace you with somebody who's going to be here and who's committed to the job and blah, 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 blah. But it does seem like things are changing a little bit
now. This is actually a very something I was not anticipating. So I wrote my book for aspiring entrepreneurs. Really, I felt that I was making entrepreneurship look too easy because I had all these people coming to me saying, oh, I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to do what you do. And I was like, wait, hold on. I think you need to know what this journey really looked like, because there were steps in this before you just quit your job just because you want to do that. Let me help you understand what that looked like. But since writing this book, I've actually started working with some companies to say, hey, these people who are coming saying that they want to start their own business, they have an owner's mindset, and these probably are your top talent, that if you structure their position and you almost give them a P&L within your business, you probably can hold on to them and they might not really need to launch. And so, listen, I think that you should be developing leaders within your business. And so just because someone wants to start their own business, I don't think you should, you know, all of a sudden we take it so personally and, oh my gosh, they're betraying us. And it's seen as some, like you saying, oh my gosh, they almost become a cancer and, you know, you got to get rid of them quickly. I think that's really a negative point of view to have. I think you should support growth within whoever you have. However, I also think that growth can happen within a company if you lead correctly and you give them that ownership ability within their position within your company.
Right. That's... They can be an intrapreneur is what they call those, right?
Yes.
So you coach people that want to quit corporate or wherever they're working and start their own business. And correct. It sounds like you give them the hard truths.
Absolutely. And really, so in the book, it's a 4 phases. The first one is prepare, then position, then we're going to pivot and profit. And the first step of prepare is really talking through, should you be actually making this jump? Because a lot of times if someone tells me, hey, I don't like my boss, this is why I want to be an entrepreneur, I'm going to tell you, don't. Because there's going to be so much of entrepreneurship that you're going to be have to be resilient in. If you are just quitting your job because you don't like your boss, you're going to quit entrepreneurship. So we need to talk about the purpose first. I need to see, are you ready to stop thinking like an employee and start thinking like a CEO? Because as soon as you start your own business, nobody's going to be waking you up in the morning. No, you're no longer doing a time clock. You're actually making your schedule. Nobody's going to tell you, you know, how to plan your business. So we talk about all of that. And then when you're going to position, this is saying, and really the tagline of the book, it's smart quit, cash in, clock out. Because I'm really telling people, stop thinking that the only thing that you should be extracting from your company is bringing cash in and clocking out as soon as possible. People are like, how much money can I get in? How quick can 5 o'clock come? But really, there are skills that you can be getting. There are relationships that you should be building. And there are systems. I have this thing where I say, hey, you can be a fry cook at a McDonald's and you are working at a $1 billion company. There are problems that you could be looking at solving that could be a company. There are people who you could be meeting that could be a relationship, that could be an investor or a partner in the future. There's just so much that you can be gaining if you are strategic about what's next. Does your company pay for certification or education? Why would you wait until you're running your own business and have to pay for that yourself if your company could do that for you? And so it's really talking about how are you strategic when you're actually working so you can do it the right way.
Yeah, that's really brilliant. I know. So Richard has a small law firm, right? And it's really hard sometimes for attorneys that have been in corporate to go work for a small law firm because the mindset is just so different, mm-hmm. right? It's like instead of I'm going to sit here, hand me the work and tell me what I need to do today. You have to know what you need to work on, right?
Like, no, like you're an owner. What are you going to do today?
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, that was just leads into my next question, which is if you are a leader in an organization, how do you cultivate an owner mindset among your team? And is there a way to encourage that?
Well, let me say this. I don't believe you're necessarily cultivating an owner mindset within your team. I think you are identifying those people who have the owner mindset and you are developing it. Because I think when you have a team and you're a leader, you spend so much time on the individual who are giving you trouble that you sometimes do not focus on your top A talent who you could be developing. And you, like I said, you give them a project, you give them a team, you develop them. You say, hey, here's your budget, create this. You know, maybe you could develop something for our company. You know, you're talking about your law firm. Hey, go get us some clients and here goes a commission for, you know, and allow them to feel. I think about the companies that I worked for and I was not an owner, but by golly, when you saw me, you would have thought so. Because I had this like ownership mentality and that's how they kept me there. And that's really what you want to do as a leader. You want people on your team who That's how much they care about their work. That's how much they care about you. But that comes from them believing that you as a leader care that much about them. And it's not just about what you can do for the company, but you care about them as a person as well.
I have a question. How do you think each person can be an entrepreneur, or is some kind something that, for example, you receive from your mama or dad, yeah, or each one can create?
I think it's easier for some than others because of our upbringing. And so maybe if you were given more responsibility growing up and things weren't handed to you, you probably do have a more inclination to do that when you're on your own. But if you see that as something that you're lacking at, grow in it. I think you can develop in anything. It's going to take time and it's going to take energy, but of course, we all can. There, you know what, right now, and we talked about AI, but there are YouTube videos. There is Insta. There, if you want to learn anything, the available amount of information at our fingertips. I grew up in the time before AOL did the little noise, whatever. Right now, there is no, I can't even imagine law school right now versus when I went to school. I mean, just the how quickly you can get information. And so I just think you have to, you see your own weaknesses and you develop those weaknesses. And so that's what I would say to that one.
Well, I'll say, you know, one of the reasons why I didn't like my boss, it was because I was more frustrated with the decision making. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, taking my job very seriously, I cared about what happened. Yeah. And I saw people making decisions that I'm like, this is nuts. This is going to mess everything up if you do this. Yeah. And lo and behold, everything got messed up. And it just finally got to the point.
Interesting. Was he an owner?
No. Well, no, it was a big company.
Because see, I don't understand that either, because that would frustrate me, because I'm like, how is he my boss? And,
right.
You know, and then, he's and you know, how are they not seeing that?
How are they not? Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's probably why one of the reasons why I've always been frustrated, because I always felt like, this makes more sense if we do it this way. And it wouldn't always work out that way. Yeah. And then I would get frustrated. So now I only have myself to get frustrated
at. What made you start your own business versus go and get another job?
Well, Elizabeth encouraged me to do it.
Oh,
and
nice.
That was one part. Another part of it is we didn't really want to leave New Jersey. We'd moved again. And I mean, I never grew up wanting to be an entrepreneur either. I was like Mr. Corporate, climb up the ladder, and that was your ticket to success. But you know, once I started doing it, I realized that I was kind of born for it,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
I have another question, because I'm realizing this entrepreneur topic. It's like, oh my God, how do you think? Okay, so we are creating something, yeah, and we fell down. We create again. We fell down. Is it some amount of numbers you need to fall down that, for example, you personally will tell, hey, man, stop. It's not yours. Find some job in the corporate segment.
That's a good question. I love this question. No, I really love this question, because the answer is no. One of the first things I tell anyone who like is a new entrepreneur is that you need to become immune to the word no, and you need to become immune to failure. Because what if on the other side of the no, or on the other side of this failure that you were about to, you know, I talk about dusting off my resume and thinking maybe I should go back. Maybe that is the $1 million business or $1 billion business, but you gave up too quickly. And so I really do think you gotta, once you say I am in it, you gotta stick to it and just, hey, failure is not failure. It is a lesson. And so you just have to, I think Elizabeth talked to that earlier. It is just a lesson learned that we got to move on and grow from, is what I would answer that.
So Drea, we have to wrap up this segment, unfortunately, because I could talk with you about this stuff all day.
It.
Seriously. What's the best way for people to find you? And you coach people, right? So
I do.
If they need
I
your
do.
Help.
Yes. So howtosmartquit.com is where you can get the book. There's an Audible, all the things. And then at DreaLynn.co on all the socials is where you can find me and follow me.
If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to the podcast and leave a quick review. Also, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and X, and subscribe to our YouTube channel for bonus content.
Learn more at PassageToProfitShow.com.